Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Everybody wants it, but few find it. And most who do find it were never looking for it in the first place. So why is happiness so elusive? Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series on finding the kind of happiness that Jesus defined in his Sermon on the Mount, How to Be Happy According to Jesus. Here's David to introduce the conclusion of his message, Life Outside the Amusement Park.
I want to thank you so much for joining us. We are studying this series from Matthew 5 on how to be happy according to Jesus. This is a tremendous opportunity for us to look at the Beatitudes, where we are told this is what God blesses, and then these are the characteristics we're going to learn as we study this together. If you're looking for true happiness, you came to the right place. Here is our Lord's definition of it. Here is what the Lord says is blessed. This is what it means to be happy. And we're going to study this during the month of August. Let's finish up what we started yesterday. Here's our unique title, Life Outside the Amusement Park.
The greatness of the Beatitudes is not that they are some wistful glimpse of some future day. They're not golden promises of some glorious future time. They are shouts of joy and happiness that nothing in the world can ever take away, and they're available to us now. And Jesus says, if you want to truly be happy, here's the formula. And we're going to take each of these one at a time, and we're going to talk about them. The keys to true happiness. In preparation in doing that, I'd like to take just a few moments today and share some general thoughts about this section of Scripture that will lay a foundation for our study. I have four or five things I want to say. First of all, I think this needs to be down at the very bottom of all of our discussion, and that is that the pursuit of true happiness is part of God's purpose for you. He doesn't want you to pursue it. He wants you to have it. Now, that may seem a little strange because I know a lot of folks who aren't really sure Christians are supposed to be happy. And looking at them, they are an advertisement for their philosophy. They are convinced that true holiness produces a dour look. That in order for someone to really be godly, he has to look like a reject from a pickle factory. And you know them, don't you? You've run into them. The fact that we would laugh in our church would be greatly offensive to such a person, for they are absolutely convinced that holiness and unhappiness are synonymous. I'm reminded that C.S. Lewis one time said a school child was asked what he thought God was like. And the child answered that so far as he could make out, God is the kind of person who is always snooping around to see if anyone's enjoying himself so that he can put a stop to it. Have you ever known anybody who followed that philosophy? You know, that's kind of the way a lot of folks think about God. But you know, this Jesus, whose words we have quoted here today, is the same Jesus who said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The joy of the Lord Jesus is the desire he has for each and every one of us. Whenever I think of people who like to cast Jesus as a sorrowful, sad player on the pages of the New Testament, I have to believe in my heart they're reading some other book than the one I've been reading. For what do you do with the winsome Jesus of the New Testament? The man of Nazareth who took such great delight in all the simple pleasures that were around him, who came eating and drinking so much that his enemies said he was a glutton and a winebibber. Remember that? The Jesus who in his life, as recorded for us in the Gospels, enjoyed wholesome activities, who was at home at a wedding, who enjoyed himself at a banquet, who was always seemingly the center of the gathering of friends in anyone's home, who mingled with publicans and sinners and attracted little children to him. Now that's a thought, isn't it? If you notice that there are certain kinds of people that draw children to them and there are others that scare them away, Jesus attracted children to his knee. And I don't think I'm reading too much into the story when I tell you that he had an awesome sense of humor. Because of the translation out of that culture into ours, we may not always see it, but do you remember the word picture that he painted on one occasion? A ludicrous word picture of a man with a plank hanging out of his eye, painfully squinting as he tries to remove a speck of sawdust from the eye of his brother. I tell you, when Jesus told that story in those days, there were some people who put their hands over their mouth and turned their heads so that they could hide the snicker and the giggle. Jesus got them with his sense of humor. So when the bloodhounds of a sad life try to paint Jesus into this morbid picture that so often we see even in the portraits that are made of him, I have to tell you, they haven't read about the Jesus I know who wanted us to find happiness so much that in the Sermon on the Mount, he devoted all of these verses to tell us what it means to truly be blessed. So I want to just go on record today as saying to all of us and to remind myself again, I know in my heart that Jesus Christ wants David Jeremiah to be a happy man. He wants me to walk with joy in my spirit and have a smile on my face. Not a silly, superficial kind of ecstatic sentimentalism, but a deep-seated joy that can come only from him. And he wants you to have that joy too. He wants you to know that kind of happiness. I was rather shocked in preparing for this message to read a book that someone had given me on the subject of happiness, written by a rather well-known writer, someone whose name you would know if I told you, who has taught us much about the Christian faith. And when, in the introduction to his book, he was explaining why he would pick such a subject in his older years to write on happiness, his explanation was that looking back on his life, even as a Christian leader, he had discovered that there were far too many places where he was profoundly unhappy. And you know, as I travel and talk with people in the evangelical church, and as I meet often with evangelical leaders, even here in our own community, and as I examine my own life, that is a statement which is far too true for many of us. God wants his people to be a happy people. The Christian life is a joyous existence. And for us to live in any other way is to fall beneath the level that God intended for us all. If you don't have a sense of humor, we ought to put you on the priority prayer list, because without a sense of humor and without an ability to laugh, life can be very long indeed. The second thing I want you to note is that the pursuit of happiness, according to Jesus' statements, is a journey inward. It is not an outward thing, as we so often would purport it to be. Let me tell you what Jesus said about the truly happy people. His list does not include one single reference to health or wealth or work or adequate income or financial security or home or love or even friends. Jesus knew that while all of these things often accompany happiness, they do not ever produce it. And so listen to his list. It so completely reverses the world's standards. Oh, the bliss of the poor. Oh, the bliss of the hungry and the thirsty. Oh, the happiness of the persecuted. Oh, the bliss of the sorrowful. These are such startling contradictions to the world's standards that no man can hear them for the first time without a sense of shock and amazement. Who is this one who speaks so strangely about happiness? These Beatitudes are a set of paradoxes to the human mind. They, I believe, were meant to destroy all the foolish illusions that had grown up in the minds of the people of Jesus' day who were looking for a kingdom that to them meant dominion and prosperity And Jesus says, let me tell you about the real kingdom. It is not out there in dominion and prosperity. It is in your heart, in the attitude of heart. And let me tell you about the kinds of attitudes which properly understand will bring true joy and happiness to an individual. I read them and have read them over and over again. And I have to tell you that my words today may have the same impression on some of you that I'm sure our Lord's word had on the people of his day. I'm sure that for some of the people, it disgusted them to have someone stand in front of them and read this list and say, at the core of this list is true happiness. It was like throwing cold water on the hot enthusiasm they had for material prosperity and kingdom dominion. So I want you to know that to find true happiness, you won't get it at that party, let me tell you. It won't be there. You will find misery there, but you won't find true happiness. Thirdly, the pursuit of true happiness is not a goal. It's a byproduct. I think that's important because if we're not careful, we can make happiness our goal and it will never come to us. Those who pursue happiness as their goal very seldom find it. Happiness is the byproduct of finding something else. I'm going to read a statement to you. You tell me who you think might have said this. This is the statement. I think I must be the happiest man in the world. I have never met anyone who has had as much fun as I have had. Who do you think might have said that? Well, was it a playboy who had run the gamut of sexual pleasure and trotted around the globe in a kind of bohemian existence? Was it an adventurer who had visited the jungles of South America or scaled the slopes of Mount Everest? Who could have said, I think I must be the happiest man in the world. I have never met anyone who has had as much fun as I have had. The man who said that is Christian missionary Frank Laubach, who spent his whole life teaching literacy to the backward peoples of the world. Dr. Laubach never went looking for happiness, but he found happiness as the byproduct of a search for something more. In one of his writings, he said, "You cannot describe the delight of people when they first discover that they can read. Men go hysterical and women begin to weep for joy. There could not be any other work in the world which could possibly have brought me so much happiness. I truly believe I am the happiest man in the world. No one could ever have had as much fun as I had." Do you know what? I know people like that. Do you know people like that? If you look at the outer shell of their life, the things we normally evaluate, you wonder, I mean, could those people really be happy? When you get to know them, there is kind of an inner joy that is enthusiastically exuberant, and you realize that they have found the core of what it means to truly be happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not write anything else down I say today, but this is a statement worth writing down. It is not my word, but it is one I will never forget. It goes like this. If more people would get a divorce from themselves, they might learn how to live happily with someone else. You see, true happiness often is short-circuited because if it is an inward journey, we have never taken the trip. Number fourth and last, the pursuit of true happiness will lead us ultimately to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a supremely happy man. And there's no doubt about the fact that there could be observable reasons as we read the record in the Gospels. And we could say by reading the record of his life in the Gospels, well, here's some things I can think that would have made him happy. For instance, he had good relationships and close friends. And at periods of time in his life, he even had a few creature comforts. Not always and not most of the time, but on occasion he did. He was entertained in his life by some very wealthy people who cared for him. And he had the opportunity to do what he loved to do, which is a matter of great pleasure for those of us who have been privileged to do what our heart loves to do. He could teach. He could heal. He had fellowship with friends and with disciples. all of these doors were open to him for his enjoyment and for his pleasure. But now think with me for a moment. All through the final months of the ministry of Jesus Christ, one by one, the doors of outer pleasure and happiness were slammed shut in his face. If you read the passion narratives in the four Gospels, you can literally hear the doors going shut. Until at last they slam the door in the upper room. His brief ministry, by all outward standards, is a failure. What he has to look forward to the next day is the cross, the Roman crucifixion. His closest friends, who were a source of joy to him, either have betrayed him, deserted him, or denied him. And there, in the atmosphere of the gathering gloom at the end of his life, there in the upper room, Jesus said this to his disciples: "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." That intrigues me. All the support systems gone. All the doors to outward happiness slammed shut. And I hear the Master say, "And now, gentlemen, what I want you to know is the secret of my joy, so that your joy might be full." Can you grasp in your imagination, men and women, a man about to die the most terrible death, talking of his joy and of his gladness and of his happiness? There are only two explanations for a man like that. Either he is crazy mad, or he knows something most of the world does not yet know. And we know the answer to that one, don't we? At the core of his life was the joy of being in the center of his Father's will. He said, "My meat is to do the will of my Father." Jesus learned how to live every day for the joy of being in the center of his Father's will. In the words of the fifth chapter of Matthew, he will teach us the building blocks for true happiness in our life. Some of you are going to be a little bit threatened by this. Maybe even now you're threatened. Maybe now you're saying, "Well, as I read through this list, it looks to me like a lot of things would have to change in my life for me to be happy." Don't throw anything away yet. Because you see, what Jesus is talking about isn't the outward stuff. It's the inward attitude of heart that makes it possible for you, like Paul, to say, "I have learned how to be content. Whether I abound or whether I have little, I am a happy man." True happiness is at the center of life. Or maybe I could say it this way: true happiness is outside the amusement park. Let's pray. Father, we really need to understand this, because like the Lord Jesus, if life consistently functions, we will feel some of the doors of outward happiness go shut. And if we don't have the real thing at the core, we will be unhappy, miserable people. Lord, teach us through your words what it means to be blessed, what it means to be filled with joy, to have your joy. Help us to understand that that joy, that blessedness, is found only in a person, in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Father, if there are those here today with us who have never come to know your Son, the Lord Jesus, personally, I pray that you will grant to them today the faith to believe. that they will put their trust in Jesus Christ, whose words we have read today, and that they will learn of Him and follow Him. And if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, but you would like to do it today, I want to ask you to pray this prayer after me in your own heart. Just simply pray these words: Dear God, I know that I am a sinner, and I know that I have failed to live up to your holy standard. God, I need you in my life. Lord Jesus, I want you to come and live within me. Become my Savior and my Lord. Father, would you please hear the prayer of each one who has prayed like that today? Enter into their life through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them the abundant life you have promised. May they leave here with the confidence that they know the one who has spoken the words we have heard today. May they leave with a sense of joy and happiness in their heart. And we thank you for hearing their prayer and for ours. And Lord, at the outset of this series, I want to ask that in a very special way, it will be anointed by the Spirit of God. These are hard sayings for us in the culture in which we live. They are very much in opposition to so many of the values that we see and have impressed upon us every day. Lord, in my heart, I know that in this section of Scripture is a key to true and lasting and genuine happiness in the heart of each believer. May we be able to find that key and unlock the door to our hearts. May we be changed because of our exposure to your truth during these weeks. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, as we said at the very beginning, how the Bible describes happiness and blessedness is so much different than the world. And you say, well, what do we do about that? Well, you need to decide which one really works. If you see people running around today trying to find happiness in the world, you know it seems like an unending search. But when you find Jesus Christ and when you begin to allow His principles to filter through your heart into your life, you discover there's a kind of joy and happiness that you never ever knew before. Jesus is the key to joy and happiness, and we're talking about that from the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, where we have the teaching of the Beatitudes. Tomorrow, here on Turning Point, we're going to talk about happy are the humble. Blessed are the humble, says the Scripture. What does that mean, and how do we implement it? Join us tomorrow.
The message you just heard came from Shadow Mountain Community Church and Dr. David Jeremiah, the senior pastor. Is God touching your life through Turning Point? Write us about it at Turning Point, Post Office Box 3838, San Diego, California, 92163. Or visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. Ask for your copy of David's new Bible study, John, the Divinity of Christ. It's part of the Jeremiah Bible Study Series, and it's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the New English Standard and New International versions, and in standard or large print in the New King James, in your choice of several attractive cover options. Visit davidjeremiah.org/radio for details. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us tomorrow as we continue How to Be Happy According to Jesus. That's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.